few weeks ago, I come dragging home. Cheryl has to remind me every once in a while that I still live in Roaring Spring, because I tend to drag some things home that maybe you shouldn't drag home if you live in town. And so I rapidly try to disassemble them and get them into what I would call valuable storage. So, because I am a little bit of a turkey vulture when I see something and I have what I want to do with that, or I have pieces that I want to do something with. And I drug home the other day in a 1930s Oliver grain drill. And it had been sitting outside for about 60 years. And so it was sunk in the ground a fair amount. And the farmer was able to get it out of the ground. And we beat the dirt off of it. And I set it on my trailer and I lashed it down. And I come home and I realized that when you're getting that thing off in one piece, it's heavier than really what it looks. And so I drug on it and jacked it and finally got it off the trailer into the garage where I could shut the garage door. So therefore I felt safe owning this thing inside of Roaring Spring. But I started to disassemble this thing in pieces that I wanted. And of course it sat outside for 60 years, so it's not just like loosening a few bolts. I mean, it's a job to get this disassembled into pieces that I want to reclaim for other projects that I want to do. And I'm in the process of making this light fixture, this chandelier, and I'm using pieces off of that grain drill to make this chandelier, to make this light fixture. But as I got the pieces off and I laid them on my bench and the other pieces, there's about 16 or 18 different pieces that I'm going to make in this light fixture out of. And as I sit them on my bench, and then I sit there and I said, wonder what this thing's going to look like. Yeah, I know that I want to use these pieces, and I know I want this to be able to be plugged in and the switch to work, but how do I get this to work, and how do I get all these pieces that I feel like I want to incorporate into this light fixture on this light fixture? Now, there's some mandatory things you got to have on a light fixture. Lights is one of those mandatory things, so there are things that you have to have. And then there's things maybe that are not mandatory, but you want on there because it makes it look like it's in my head. I have a picture of what I kind of want in my head, and as I'm looking at all the 16 or 18 different components that I want to put in this light fixture, my mind starts to gravitate toward what it's going to look like. And then I start to get out some tools, and I start to make a mess of my shop and start to run routers and drills and saws and different things that I want to do, and I start to assemble. But the one important part is to have all these items and then lay them out and just ponder them, just think about them, just look at them, just dream of what happens if all these components are coming together in one fixture, what it could really look like. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Old wood and old stuff and pieces of grain drill and just... And I think in Luke 2 we see Mary doing that very thing. I see, and at the end of this is the after the shepherds are leaving, and we see the phrase that Mary treasured these things up and she pondered those things. She brought them all on her workbench and she began to ponder and see all these pieces that were coming together and see all these things that what's this going to be? What is this all going to be? What am I a part of here? What's going to be created by what God has put on the table? And we pick it up in Luke 2. Verses 17 and 18, we see that this is the shepherds. When the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds are like, woo! You can't believe! And they couldn't shut up about it. But look what Mary did in the next verse. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She treasured up. She gathered and kept. She gathered and keep. Gather and keep. She gathered this. And I believe as I was looking at my workbench, I think that's what Mary did. She put everything out on the workbench up to this point, and she began to ponder, to bring together in one's mind, to confer or discuss with oneself. She's talking to herself. She's laid everything that she has heard and everything that she has experienced up to this point in the life of Jesus coming to this earth and all the components that were there that she was going to be a part of. And she starts to ponder. She starts to consider. She starts to confer. She starts to talk to herself and say, "Woo! Wow! The potential." And I wondered, as I read that passage, I wondered what she pondered. What were the pieces that she put on her workbench? And I think she put the prophecies of the Messiah, of the Old Testament that she had learned in Sunday school. I think they were part of what the prophecies, "And unto us a child will be born, and a son will be given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." And she started to think about Isaiah 9:6, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, and Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father." I think that was on her bench, and she's looking over there at this baby Jesus, and she's looking at that verse, and she's laying it on her bench, and she just began to talk to herself. What is going on? Woo. And the feelings that she was having about being part of God's plan and the senses that made them travel to Bethlehem. And I think there was the inn and the manger situations and maybe the words from Elizabeth and maybe Elizabeth's child we know now is John the Baptist leaping in her womb when Mary came close when she was pregnant with Christ. What about the words that Joseph shared with her about his own angel visit? I'm telling you right now, Joseph shared those thoughts with Mary. And I wonder if that wasn't on her bench, on her thinking about all these things. And she pondered all these things and the shepherd's words about what the angel had told them. And there would be more to come. But Mary said, "I've got to get my head around what I've already experienced here. I've got to get my heart around. I've got to make sense out of the 18 components on my bench right now. Because I know that by the end of the week or by the end of next week, all those components are going to be able to be hung on a ceiling and you're going to be able to turn the light on and there's going to be more components on my bench and more components. But right now," Mary said, "I've got these components on my bench. I've got these pieces on my bench and I just need to ponder them. I need to get them organized in my own thinking. I need to appreciate where God's got me right now and what He's doing in my life." You ever just sit and ponder? You ever just sit and ponder? Traditionally this week I would have gone back, and I did, and I just pondered the 51 times we've been together. And all the stuff, all the components, all the stuff that God has laid on our bench. The worship that He's laid on our bench. 51 times. The truth that's come from the Word of God laid on our bench. The wee hours of the morning that I didn't know what was going to lay on the bench, but God told Tobin and he laid it on the bench. All the things that we have experienced together. All the times we have been together in this room, 51 times, God has filled up our bench. Did you ever just sit back and just ponder what God has fed us this year? Mary said, "Whoa, before I eat anything else, before I build anything else on this bench, I got to know what these 18 components are going to produce." Mary said, "Before I go anywhere else, I've got to know what's happening this far." Am I making sense today? Did you ever just stop and think? I heard a guy say one time, we pray a lot up to the moment and up to the Sunday that we're preaching. And we pray and we ask God for understanding of the Scripture. And we ask God and we spend 15 to 30 hours a week just in the Word and putting it together so we can communicate it in 30 or 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. And then by the Sunday afternoon, we just kind of push that aside and we start thinking about the next week. I'm guilty of that. And he said, did you ever just think about just praying that one through? What you've already eaten for that week and committed to praying that one through, and to pray that God nourishes the congregation, nourishes the people, nourishes the hearers from that, and ponder that thinking throughout the week. Have you ever prayed through that? And I've begun to do that. I've begun to say, God, I've just cooked this meal, or you've just cooked this meal and delivered it through me or Tobin or MJ or Bethany or whoever. Did you ever just ponder? So I'm telling you, we'll be shepherds in the weeks to come and we'll be proclaimers. But this morning, can we just ponder what God has already put on our table for this year? As on January 3rd, he set the table. And I entitled the message, What's in Your Milk Can? And we looked through that, and we looked at Jesus' milk can was full. Now we're not talking about, it could be, because if the milk can is not full, and the milk doesn't leave the farm, the community is going to be in trouble. There's got to be something that leaves the farm. You don't farm most time just for the fun of it. Because whatever leaves the milk, whatever leaves the farm, the community needs. And we looked at Jesus' milk can, and we looked at His good works and His teaching and His miracles and His gospel and His prayer. They are the things that left the farm, so to speak, in Jesus' world. His milk can was full of those things. And there we did make the statement that if there is no milk leaving the farm, the community is in trouble. And so we centered in on that first Sunday of this year, the first time that we met. We centered in on prayer and wondered if our prayers are leaving the farm. How's your prayer life? What are you praying for? You ever just sit down and not just pray, but ponder about prayer? Do you ever just ponder? And we looked at Psalm 20 that Sunday, and we looked at Psalm 20, and it says this, May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the Lord of God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from your sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. Woo, I can preach this again. Look what he's praying for. And that's what we did last 51 times ago. May He remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. And may He give you the desires of your heart and make your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we will lift up our banners in the name of the Lord. May the Lord grant you all your requests. I mean, this guy is hopped up on prayer. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He answers him in His holy heaven with a saving power at His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. They will be brought to their knees and fail, but we will rise up and stand firm. Oh, Yahweh, save the king. Answer us when we call. We find out at the very end that it's the people praying for the leadership. It's the people praying. We were challenged to say, are you praying for your family? What are you praying for your family? What are you praying for your country? What are you praying for your leadership? What are you praying? and we made a list of things, and I want them to call on you, God. I want them to hear from you, God. I want them to become so familiar with your voice, God. I want them to be too hot for the enemy to handle. Do you ever pray that for your kids? Oh, God, help them make right choices. That's good prayer, okay. But how about this? God, make them so hot that the enemy can't touch them. Fill them with the Spirit, God. That if the enemy comes into their environment, he begins to sweat. I want them to be upheld and nourished and strengthened. I want them to seek and receive forgiveness. And I want them to see their heart's desires come alive. I want them to keep asking and to keep receiving. I want them to know what it feels like to have God working in their life. That's the way we started last year. And that's on our workbench from last year. Did we ever just sit back and say, how am I doing on that? How am I doing? I want to ponder this, God. Before you teach me one more thing, God, I want to ponder this. I want to be a Psalm 20 prayer warrior. I don't want to just pray when something goes wrong. I want to be on the offense, God. How are we doing? How are we doing on our prayer? And this is not whoa, I don't know if I'm doing so good. Now I'm feeling all bad and negative inside. That's not what I never feel that way when all this stuff is on my bench. I might be a little confused and I'm like, how is this going to all go together? But I don't give up. And just because maybe we haven't utilized prayer in this year like we were challenged to do in our first time meeting together this year, doesn't mean it's not still on our bench, and it doesn't mean you give up on it. Let's go, New Life. We are on the offense. This is, release the prayers from our hearts and our souls and our lips, and asking God to do the miraculous, and asking God to do the mighty in our lives and in our families' lives, that they will trust in the name of the Lord their God. They will know that the days will be defeated. They will rise up and stand firm. I found myself answering a couple of texts this past week with, rise up, stand firm! The situation stinks. Rise up. Stand firm. I find it interesting that I started to text that after I revisited this. I need to ponder what God already has on my bench. What is He doing? In January 31st, this is the title of the message. From that week. Effective ways to ruin a relationship so that when you step out the back, hop a bus, or drop off the key, no one will be looking for you. And probably will be happy to leave the back door open, pay the bus fare, and get their key back. That's what was the title of the message that week. And you know, I pulled that out of Simon and Garfunkel, right, 1976. Right? Here's the words to that. Push the button. Here's the words. Just slip out the back, Jack. Right? See, I think they're all screwed up here. I don't think Simon and Garfunkel really know how to break up a relationship, because I think you need to ruin it before you hop out the back. Because if you hop out the back and you haven't ruined it, they'll look for you. You'll be on like milk cartons, you know. You'll be on the most wanted. You'll be on posters at the post office. You need to ruin a relationship before you try to hop out the back, and before you try to get on a bus. You really just got to go. And we looked at that at the end of January last year. We looked at ways to ruin a relationship. Just butcher it. And we looked at Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5. And we unpacked that moments there. We unpacked that to see how I could ruin a relationship. And we come up with this, do not seek to listen to healthy instructions. For crying out loud, push the button. You don't seek, again, do not seek healthy instruction. Listen, if you're going to have a relationship that's going to not work, if you need to not listen to healthy instruction. Okay, I'm telling you right now, if you start to listen to healthy instruction, your relationship might start working. You need to butcher it before you try to get out of it. Am I making sense? And then you need to strive to have a POW attitude. That's not a prisoner of war attitude. That, you know what, POW, and we looked at that last January. You know what that is? You know what the POW? My problem is more challenging, my opinion is more right, and my want is more important. Problem, opinion, and want. You've got to be self-centered on those things. Then you can kill a relationship. And you got to listen to respond. For crying out loud, don't listen. You got to just listen to respond. You don't want to listen to understand. You've got to listen to respond. All you want to do is get to a point where they made a mistake or something and just camp on that until they shut up and they just beat them with it. That's a great way to ruin a relationship. How are you doing on that? You got to push buttons as often as possible. You know where they are. You got to quarrel about everything. You got to quarrel about, and I wrote it, the majors and the minors. You really got to quarrel about it. You got to quarrel about what you ate last week if on Wednesday for lunch. If they say something and they're wrong, you've got to bring it up and you can't let it down. You've got to beat the guts out of them with it. You've got to quarrel about everything. You've got to let the seed of controversy grow. You've got to embrace, hey, I don't care attitude. And so we ended that message with this. Oh, am I not seeking healthy instruction? Am I struggling with the POW? Am I listening to respond and not to understand? Am I pushing buttons? Am I quarrelsome? Am I letting the seeds of controversy grow? Am I embracing a don't care spirit? And then I just simply ended that Sunday with this. Are you okay with that? How are we doing on our relationships? It's on the bench. Don't worry, I'm moving on because I feel a little, How about February 28th of this past year? And we read this, none of the rulers of this age understood it. It was, may the glory, the Lord of glory live in my life was the title of that message. And we come into Corinthians and it says this. It says, none of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And we camped a little bit on, do I understand, really understand what God's doing in my life? Am I squelching the passion and the zeal of God because I don't understand it? Am I crucifying the Lord of glory in my life? And we come up with like three or four things and we just ask ourselves, do I know that this is what God wants? Do I know that God does not want me to be balanced? He wants me to be radically off balance toward Him. He's not looking for you to have a balanced life. He's looking for you and me to have a radically lopsided life in the center of Christ. Listen, Christ-centered life does not balance you in this world. It makes you radically for Jesus. And what He says, I will do. What He tells me to do, I will do. I am radically for Jesus. God does not want me to be balanced. You know what? God hates sin. You can wash it away, or you can downplay it, or you can do whatever you want. Does God love you? Absolutely. He's never going to love you more or less than He loves you right this very moment. But make no bones about it. God hates sin. And do we know that God may not remove the consequences of sin when He forgives me? See, sometimes we wrestle with that, right? I ended up with this ailment because of sin in my life, and I come to Christ, and now I'm forgiven, but this is not healed in me. And I wrestle with that. Do you know that God may not remove the consequences of past actions in our life, but He still will forgive us? Do you also know that God thinks dying is better than sinning? Does God want me to die or sin? The answer is die. If there's the only two choices before you, God would prefer death in our lives. How am I doing with that attitude? Am I crucifying the Lord of glory in my life? It's on our bench. How about April 18th? Faithful to the end. And we talked about Matthew 25:14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. And he's looking for the faithful servants. And are we faithful? And faithful means firm and steady and loyal to a promise or a vow. One that can be relied on. That's faithful. That's what God's looking for. Does He love you? Absolutely. Does He care about you? Absolutely. Does He have a future for you? Absolutely. Is He looking for faithful followers? Absolutely. Am I more faithful? As I am more faithful, does God love me more? No. But God is looking for faithful followers that He can entrust. He can entrust His property to. So that you and I can demonstrate our faithfulness. And we looked at these, and faithfulness must be a part of our identity. And faithfulness could get me into a rough situation. Being faithful to God could get you into a rough situation. Why? Because God's not looking for you to be balanced. He's looking for you to be radical. And faithfulness produces a blessing, and faithfulness is hard to find. And just so we know, faithfulness is a requirement from God. How about May 30? That was on our bench. And I've entitled that one, Windy Head or Big Heart. You got a windy head or do you got a big heart? And we looked at the Corinthians passage that says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You got more air between your ears or more love in your heart? That's what he's asking. Because he said, I'm telling you that knowledge and facts and figures and stuff, this is going to puff up. They're just going to fill your mind full of air. And I'm just telling us right now, and I told us then, and God told me for the week ahead of that, he said this, you get your mind full of air, you're going to be a big bag of wind. But get your heart full of love and watch what I can do with it. Facts will fill the mind with wind, and love causes your hearts to be filled with people value. Are we valuing the people? How are we doing on that? It's on our bench, waiting to be constructed into your life and into my life. How about September 12 of this past September? Entitled the message, Growing Forward. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 1:13 and 14. It says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be people or men and people, women of courage, be strong and do everything in love. I love it when God is writing this to the church of Corinth, and he said, listen, You can advance in your faith. You just don't have to swim around in a circle. You can get on top of the water and you can swim. Be on your guard. Advance. You know who he's talking to? And we looked at that week. You know who he's talking to? Earlier in the letter, he talks about some of you were sexually immoral, and some of you were idolaters and thieves, and you're greedy, and you're drunks, and you were slanderers, and you were swindlers, and you were immigrants, and you were Romans, and you were Greeks, and you were Jews, and you were people all over the world. It doesn't matter. You can move forward in your faith. So grow forward. And we looked at the five pieces of growing forward, not just making it through. That was a statement for that week. He says, I wanted to grow forward, not just make it through. And out of that 1 Corinthians passage, we come up with these statements. We can see. How do I grow forward? Because you can see, we can see, we can stand firm in known truth. We can meet danger and risk with strength and confidence. We can receive the power, and we can love. How are we doing? Have you cherished these and get them all on your workbench? Are we pondering all these components that God has put in our midst this past year? Are we pondering them? Are we just looking for the next thing? God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And he said, what do you really want you to do is just look at the bench. Will you just ponder what I've already put on your bench? Do you know what can be made out of that? It looks like rusty steel and old wood and wire and lamp holders. And it just looks like stuff, but it's not just stuff. You put it together and watch what I can do. Let me finish with just maybe I would just remind us of what the kids told us last week. That Jesus is Emmanuel. That Jesus is the King of Kings. Have you just pondered that? It's on your bench. The 26 or 30 kids that were on this platform last week, put that on your bench last week. That He is the miracle worker. He is the Savior. He is the Lamb of God. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the great I Am. He is the door for the sheep, and He is the good shepherd, and He is the resurrection, and He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the true vine, and He is the justifier, and He is the righteous one, and He is the wisdom and the power of God. He is the grace of God, and He's the fuel for your walk, and He's the coming King, and He's the giver of strength, and He's the good news, and He's the healer, and He's the rescuer, and He's the one who sets free. It's on your bench. And He is the one who meets all our needs. And He is the hope for this world that is in despair. What are you doing with what's on your bench? Next week, we're going to start laying some more stuff on the bench. But I'm not going into next week until I ponder what's on my bench. Next week, we're going to be shepherds. We're going to proclaim. This week, we're Mary. Can we treasure up what God's already put on our bench? And can we just ask Him this week, God, I just want to ponder what you already have taught me. God, don't teach me anything new. Jesus tells his disciples, the Spirit of God's going to come and he's going to remind you of everything I have said to you. And he's going to teach you new things. Can our prayer be this week, and I'm almost ready to end here, but can our prayer be this week, Spirit of God, just remind me of everything that you've already done in my life. Stand with me today. Father, I started out yesterday morning hearing a guy sing, Mary, did you know that your baby boy And then it goes all the way through that whole song of all the things. Or a whole raft of things that Jesus, who he was and what he had done. And Father, I'm just going to say, I think Mary did know. I just do. Because I think Mary took the time to treasure and ponder. Was she confused at times? I'm sure when she was at the cross. And Jesus, when you were telling John to take care of your mom. But I think Mary was one who pondered and treasured. And Father, I know, I got to admit, I'm more of a shepherd. I'm just going to proclaim. But God, I'm asking for anointing on this group today, on here or on the in front of the TV, that just the anointing of remembering this week, of pondering what you've already done, already put on our bench, and the potential of what's there. Help us to be Mary this week. It's the day after Christmas. Help us to be Mary this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.